Well, play. And again, perhaps this mother, everybody. I was thinking that perhaps this Mother's Day, the most appreciated gift would actually be some time away from the family with all the things that are going on. And it's getting old, and I'm glad to hear that we are talking more and more about getting back to a more normal kind of societal activities, and I'm looking forward to that, looking forward to seeing all of you again. But being Mother's Day, I thought it was a good time to tell you about the new expecting mother at the parsonage. Now, some of you have already heard this, so I thought it would be best just to let everybody know. Well, here she is. Her name is Daisy, and she built her nest right next to our porch. And look at her. She looks great, doesn't she? She has that glow about her, just like an expecting mother. Well, she's about to become a new mother of nine, and her responsibilities are about to multiply. But all indications are that she will do a great job with her brood. She's taking good care of her eggs, and she's quick to discourage anyone from getting too close to her nest with an intimidating stare. But like all mothers, she has an important job ahead of her. She will have much to teach her ducklings in preparing them for life beyond the nest. But you know that mothers are teachers. They are first teachers, and they have the potential to positively influence and shape their children more than anyone else. George Washington said that he attributed his success in life to the moral, intellectual, and physical education he received from his mother. And he was pretty successful. The scriptures speak about the importance role that parents have. For example, we read in Proverbs in a couple places, "Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching, for they are graceful garland for your head and pendants for your neck." And then, of course, the verse that many of you know and heard before, "Train up a child in the way he should go, even when he is old, he will not depart from it." So parents have this important role. But because this is Mother's Day, we're going to look at a passage that highlights their role especially. And while this message today is aimed primarily at moms among us, it applies to everyone, really, who has children and young people in their care, people they care about, whether they be nieces and nephews, cousins, those in our realm of influence for which we can speak of the things of God with them. And so in 2 Timothy 3, verses 14 and 15, we hear about the early spiritual influence on one who would become a leader in the early church. So as you get, if you're looking in your Bibles, as you get to that, 2 Timothy chapter 3, we're just going to look at those two verses, verses 14 and 15. But as has been mentioned, Mother's Day can be a day of mixed emotions for some, especially if as a mother you have a wayward child and you're grieved over their reluctance to follow the Lord and to venture off into things that are harmful, things that are dangerous. Or maybe you, when you were growing up, your mother wasn't exactly the ideal mom, and it was a difficult time growing up. And those, you have a lot of bad memories from your mother. Well, there may be other reasons that make this day also just not all that wonderful. But in this second letter to his younger co-worker, the Apostle Paul writes to encourage Timothy to persevere in his faith and ministry in spite of the suffering that he is facing. And in verses 10 and 11 of chapter 3, Paul reminds him that he had influence upon Timothy's life. And he reminds him that he's followed Paul's teaching and Paul's example, and that these included persecutions and sufferings for his faith. And then in verse 12, he goes on to remind him that all those who live to seek to live a godly life in Christ will be persecuted. And that is true, and it is to be expected. Just as the world was against Jesus, though he did nothing wrong, so the world is against Christians, even though we don't do things that deserve punishment. Now in verses 14 and 15, he reminds Timothy of his childhood teachers and what they taught him. So we read these verses, 2 Timothy 3, "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." Paul says here, continue in what you have learned and believed. Continue because you know from whom you have learned it. You know the ones who taught you. And so the thought here is that you can trust those who've taught you these things because you know their integrity, you know their concern for you, you know that they are good people who have good motives behind their teaching. They are people of character and they love you. Now he's already mentioned himself and his role in the preceding verses, in verses 10 and 11. But here he adds some of Timothy's earlier teachers, his childhood instructors that he mentions in verse 15. Now, Paul doesn't name them here because he already has earlier in the book. Back in chapter 1, verse 5, he said this, "I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well." So if it was from childhood that Timothy was hearing and learning the scriptures, then it came from his mother and grandmother, who were women of sincere faith. That means they were authentic Christians. They weren't half-heartedly following Jesus. They weren't disciples following from a distance. No, their faith was serious. They really believed in God, and they really had committed themselves to following Christ. But Paul points Timothy back here to his own faith and the faith of those from whom he first learned about God to help him stand strong in the face of difficulties. That's his point in talking about himself in verses 10 and 11, and then bringing up these earlier instructors, his mother and his grandmother, in verses 14 and 15. Remember who you learned from. Stand strong in your faith. That's what he's telling him. So let's think a little bit about Timothy's first teachers. His mother Eunice, grandmother Lois. It's interesting that the father is not mentioned here, but fathers are not excused. On the contrary, fathers, we are told in Ephesians 6, verse 4, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." So Christian fathers have a clear teaching from the Lord about what their role is in the bringing up and instructing of their children. It's laid out quite plainly. And so the ideal is that there are two believing parents working together. But as you know, this is not always the case. And many times, it's not the case. And here in Acts 6, in this passage, this situation, it isn't the case either, because Acts 16:3 tells us that Timothy's father was a Greek, which probably means he did not know the scriptures or he did not follow the Lord. He's not mentioned by Paul in this passage. So his father was likely either an unbeliever or derelict in his spiritual duties. But his mother and grandmother were believers, and they filled him with the scriptures, and the scriptures brought him to faith in Christ. So even though his father is absent, Timothy's mother and grandmother did a great job. They started early. Timothy was exposed to the scripture from childhood. The term here refers to early childhood, and sometimes it's translated as infancy, and it can be used for that. You get the picture of this child, this young child, sitting with his mother or his grandmother, hearing the great stories about God, the God of Israel, and how he saved his people, and how he loves his people, and how he has called them to live. And he would have heard about how God created all that is, how he created the heavens and the earth, how he would hear the stories about people of great faith, people like Moses and Joshua and Deborah and Gideon and David. And he'd hear about how God had protected them and saved his people in time of trouble. And they would tell him of God's law and how he should live life and what it means to love the Lord with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength. And in doing these things, they were doing exactly what the Lord had commanded. In the book of Deuteronomy, it says, "These words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise." And so God calls parents to do this, Christian parents. If you are a Christian and you have a child, these things apply to you. You have a responsibility before the Lord. And so sometimes parents will think, well, I don't know enough. I'm not an expert. I don't know that much about the Bible. Well, you don't need to be an expert. You don't need special training. All we have to do is read the scriptures and talk about them with our family. That's all he says to do in Deuteronomy 6. Let the Bible speak for itself. Let them hear right from God's word about the God who is and the God who created them and the God who loves them. Sometimes people think, I think, unfortunately, that because churches have children's ministries, that it's the church's job to teach their children. But that's not so. Parents have the responsibilities, and the church is not there to take away or replace the parents' role in that at all. We are simply there to support what the parents are teaching at home in our children's ministries. So it is our responsibility. But rather than looking at it as just a responsibility, some kind of a burden, you should think of this as a great privilege and a joy that we have as parents to pass on to our children the truths about God. And so you get to impart into the earliest memories of your children a knowledge of a caring Heavenly Father. And you can direct them towards salvation through faith in Christ. This is your privilege to sit with them and open the word and to read to them the stories of our God. And let God's word begin to be established in their minds and in their hearts. I know a Christian man who told me a very sad story. In fact, it was heartbreaking when I heard it. I felt so bad for him. He and his wife are believers. He went to church and seemed to be living and was living a Christian life. And he had a son who they also took to church. And he seemed to be following pretty much what the family had to say. But as he grew up, he went off and he married a woman who wasn't a believer. And in time, she became opposed to Christianity. She had gotten into some strange teachings and really was antagonistic against what Christianity was teaching and against things that talked about the God of Israel and about Jesus. And so his son and this man's daughter-in-law had a child. And because of his daughter-in-law's influence over his son was so strong, she discouraged him from following the Lord. And so the son quit going to church, quit reading his Bible. And then it came to the point where they were so much against Christianity that they told this fellow that he was not allowed to speak to his grandchild about the things of God. You can come visit, they said, but you can't talk about the Lord. Can you imagine that? How painful that would be? I always still think it's almost unbelievable. So if you believe this book is God-breathed and is vital that children learn it, if indeed this is a divine book, then its directions for living are the most important things we and our children need to hear. And so I applaud each one of you who are doing this, who are taking up this all-important responsibility to teach your children the things of God. Don't give up. You are doing the right thing. Now, in addition to being teachers, there's one more very important parental role that is kind of seen here, not directly, but it's here, and that is being Timothy's intercessors. Now, the text does not tell us that Lois and Eunice prayed for Timothy, but it doesn't have to. As women of faith, they believed in the power of prayer. And I have to believe that even before he was born and got into, he grew up and got into ministry, they were already praying for this child. And now that he was out and around, they continued to pray for him as he was in ministry, as he was pastoring the church in Ephesus, where he was when this was written. If they were still alive, they were still praying for him and supporting him through their prayers. Your children need your prayers. They need you to intercede for them. There's no one who can intercede for your children with as much fervor and faithfulness as you can, as you will, because you love them, and they need your prayers. Think about the world they're growing up in. Think about the temptations that are all around them. Think about the things that they're faced with if they go off to school and what they have to encounter there. And so who else is going to pray as earnestly for them? But you, this is your role. This is your God-given task as a mom or a father. And if you don't have children, then there are others maybe in your extended family that you can pray for. Cousins, nephews, nieces, people who you care about. They need you to pray. And if your child is far from God, don't give up. Don't concede defeat. God has a long arm, and he has ways of getting their attention and bringing them back. Now, the scriptures do tell us, though, that not much about his father, Timothy's father, just that he was a Greek and is pretty much out of the picture, but he did have a spiritual father, and this was Paul. In a couple places in the Bible, Paul mentions this, and he speaks about Timothy as his spiritual son. This is because he discipled Timothy. He probably is the one who led him to the Lord, but also he taught him about living the Christian life. And Timothy joined him and the others as they ministered from city to city. So he had this spiritual father. And in chapter 1 of verse 3 of 2 Timothy, Paul says this. He says, "I remember you constantly in my prayers, night and day." Paul was praying for him faithfully, consistently, as his spiritual father. Can you be a spiritual father to somebody? Adopt them, pray for them, be faithful in praying for them when not giving up? They probably need that. And so you who are praying for your children, I encourage you to continue to pray for them. You may be the only person who's doing that for them. Back in the 1960s, there was a woman and her family who moved to New York City from Puerto Rico. And they were a poor family. They had next to nothing. And so when they got to New York, they ended up living in the government housing in a rough neighborhood, and it was a very difficult place to live. There was drugs and gangs and violence all around. At the age of 9, her son Victor was recruited by a gang. By the time he was 12, he was on heroin. He had already been arrested, and he was involved in a variety of illegal activities at that young age. And so his mother was heartbroken. Her son was out of control and headed for destruction. But one thing this mother knew was how to pray. And this she did. So every day she would pray for God to keep her son from danger and to help him find a new life. Victor would come home high or drunk. She would give him a hug and say, "Victor, God's hand is upon your life because I am praying for you." But it seemed that the more she prayed, the worse he seemed to get. But she kept praying month after month. She didn't give up. She just kept praying. But it didn't look like anything was happening. But what she couldn't see was that while she was praying, God was at work. And the Lord led a young man by the name of David Wilkerson to come to the roughest streets in New York City and share the good news. One day, Victor ran into this new young street preacher. And right there on the corner, God touched his heart. He knelt down and gave his life to Christ. And God set him free from the drugs, from the gangs, and from the violence. But Victor not only walked away from the violence and the drugs, but God called him into the ministry. And he became a pastor. He pastored a church in Virginia. And he was able to tell others about the amazing way God answered his mother's prayers. God does answer prayer, so don't give up. Keep praying, keep trusting. It is your place to intercede for your children. So now I'd just like to pray and ask God's blessing upon the moms and all the parents this day, that they would take up these responsibilities, but do so with a spirit of gladness and see it as an opportunity to do good and to contribute powerfully to the spiritual welfare of their children. Father, we do thank you for the families you give us and for the people we also know who may not be our children that we can pray for. And Lord, it is important that we pray because we may be the only one, the only true believer, the only true person of faith who is praying for them and faithfully praying for them. They're depending upon us even though they may not realize it. Help us, Lord, to be faithful in this. And Father, as we have children and opportunity to teach other children, help us to be faithful in this. To teach our children the things of God, to make time for this, to read with them the great stories about how you've acted over the course of history, to share with them how great and powerful and how loving and forgiving you are. Lord, help us not to neglect these opportunities, but help us, Lord, to embrace them. And we pray, Lord, that you would bless our children, our families, those we care about most. Protect them, guide them, lead them in your ways. And Father, if they're walking in a different direction this day, bring them back to you, we pray. Speak to their hearts and draw them to you, we pray. And we ask this, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen.